Well, yesterday we had started looking at some prevailing signs of pride. And I have been trying to help us see that if we are going to be fruitful and we are going to do well at what God has called us to do, we will have to pay close attention to ensuring this attribute of pride does not have a place in our hearts, so that we can be fruitful to the maximum, so that we can be fruitful to the maximum. We said that if God was going to raise us up, and if God was going to cause us to be exceedingly fruitful, then we had to avoid this and I believe that somebody is going to be fruitful in Jesus' name. Proverbs 6:16-19. Proverbs 6:16-19. So that I can help you see. Solomon, through all his wisdom, was able to outlist a number of things that the Lord hates. And at least if we are going to be looking at some of the things that the Lord hates, then of course he might hate a couple of things, but there are some things that he really and truly hates. Solomon, in his proverbial sayings, says that these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Then he says, number one, a proud look. A proud look. Says that the Lord hates a proud look. He starts with a proud look, a haughty mind, or lofty eyes. So you see, there are things that the Lord detests, the Lord does not like. Number one of them all is anybody who has a proud countenance. You believe it's possible with you alone. You don't need any of God's help. Says the Lord hates it. Then he hates some other things, like a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord amongst brethren. So you see that when you are proud, you are carrying something that the Lord hates. And that's why we need to get it out of our hearts, so that the Lord can cause whatever it is that we're doing to be fruitful, and his mighty hand causes it to increase. So we started looking at some prevailing signs of pride yesterday. We said that pride speaks of itself. That's the first one. It always has to be you and your achievements and what is happening to you and how it's turning out for you. Number two, pride needs to be at the center. That's what we said secondly. You see that? So it has almost like an insatiable desire to be like a central focus point. If you are talking and I'm not the one you are talking about, then I'm not really interested in the talk. But when you are talking about me, what did you say about me? Oh, I'm beautiful. And there are many things that we can be proud about. We can be proud about money. We can be proud about beauty. I've met some people like that. You see, that's why they're saying that beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord is to be praised. Because sometimes you can make your beauty get into your head. And you start to think because of your beauty, everybody should lie down for you. And you always want to be told how you are beautiful. And that's how come many women today spend an hour and 30 minutes in front of the mirror. They can just get up and the whole day they are just looking into the mirror. The whole day they are just looking into the mirror. Admiring themselves. The whole day. When I say the whole day, it's not like they just stand up and they're looking. No, majority of the time is spent in front of the mirror, the whole day. Sometimes they'll just get up and be changing wigs. That's where the day came. It came with changes. So they wear these wigs more. And when they'll take pictures. So I want to take like 35, 40 minutes. Then they'll change their wig again. Then they are in front of there. Then they are crack, like that. So then they'll change another wig again. Then they'll change different makeups. Pink eyelashes, pink whatever, pink lips, pink. Then they'll wash it and do the black. They'll wash it and do the yellow. Ah, you think what I'm saying is not true? Oh, then you people don't know. Yeah, just get up and be. Just there. That's what the day came with. It's like today we are going to just bath and then just be changing wigs and changing color brows and looking at ourselves. And then wearing different dresses and just admiring, you know, themselves. So it's true. So this one, when two pimples come on her face, she can't sleep. Oh. She can't sleep. She has to go and see a dermatologist. And funny enough, they keep having more. You see? Yeah. They keep having more. Two come, three will come, four will come, five will come. Then they are disturbed. You know, I don't even know what's happening, but my skin, So you see, for some of these people, they make their beauty become the center of attraction. One dress that they've worn, they'll ask you 10 times if the dress is okay. And if it fits them, they just like to be told you are the most beautiful. You are very, wow. You see, they are hair cooker and they are happy. So you see, many of the times, you will find pride in some of these things. So pride needs to be at the center. When they get into a place, they want people to recognize. They want to be spoken about. But you see, when you do that, we said that the Lord resists the proud, yet he giveth more grace to the humble. Number three, we're going to look at number three and probably number four. Pride tries to impress. Pride tries to impress. So you see that somebody who has signs of prevailing pride always wants to impress. Listen to me. Don't impress. Just live an impressive life. Don't try to impress. Ensure that the life that you are living is an impressive life, that's all. So you see that you don't have money, but you want to impress. So you start buying expensive things that you know very well you cannot afford. Go to school. You know where your house is. You know how your house is. Your mother is at the market. Then you go to school and be living like a big boy. Meanwhile, you know very well there is not money at home. And every time you are calling people at home to send you money, instead of you should go to school and learn. Go to school and be following people, the latest clothes you want to buy. Don't do that. Know what level you are in and grow from there joyously. Don't try to impress anybody. Don't try to impress anybody. You know very well that, you see, in the next 5 to 10 years, you'll be able to afford anything that you ever need in your life. But now, it might not be so. So you want to live according to your means. If 2 shoes is what can help you, buy the 2 shoes, keep it well. If 7 shoes is what can help you, buy the 7. Don't want to have 10 when you can only have 7. Sometimes we just put ourselves under very unserious pressure. I never, was impressed by, a lot of ministers looking in a certain way. I don't have a problem with how people look on the pulpit. But I looked at it critically and I said, no, I'm not going to have to be buying expensive shoes, expensive clothes, expensive this. Whatever is simple, you could just use it until the time where you can actually get it. Let me tell you something. Me, you can't move me with any pressure. Oh. Since I was small, I was like that. I'm like immovable with a lot of pressure. I made up my mind to buy one sandal and use it. And I used it for close to 2 years. One. Just one. Yeah, just one. Even got bad when I went to a camp meeting and I saw that, sorry to say, Bishop Dag was wearing an old shoe. I looked into the crusades. I saw an old shoe. I looked to his camps. I saw an old shoe. I said, oh, then that means that we are having old shoes and we're going to just flow with it. But you see some people killing themselves. Go and borrow. If I tell you how many suits I've received, you will not believe it. Yeah. But you never see me actually. Because yes is there. So, you just live according to your. Live within your means. Live within your means. Don't try to impress anyone. Learn to live within your means. Don't try to impress anyone. Say that we need to have a car. We need to. No, don't live to have. Don't live that way. My friend, see, she's gone to buy a certain wig. All those things are prevailing signs of pride. prevailing signs of pride. So don't allow anybody put you into some kind of pressure. Now, if you can afford, if you can do that, so you are going to not live to impress. Amen. Don't live to impress. You know very well that it's not something I can get. It's not something I should get. It's not something I want to get. Don't live to impress. Make sure that everything else that you're doing is easy. You're going to do well. But the test of it is that you can be grateful with what you have in your hands now. You're going to do well. I mean, many of you are going to do well. But you must know how to do it. So I want to encourage you that you don't live to impress anyone. Why are you studying the Word of God? Yeah, because sometimes you could be studying the Word of God to be impressive. Or maybe you're living a certain kind of a prayer life to impress. Say, no, if I don't pray, they'll say I'm not too spiritual. So I need to live, you know, in accordance to the spiritual standard. And then you're putting pressure upon yourself. It's good to have a motive for prayer. And it has to be a good motive for prayer. You need to have a motive for prayer. What is your motive for prayer? What is your motive for prayer? Why do you pray? So make sure that in everything that you do, your heart is very pure. You see me, when you live with me, you get to know that I didn't ask you to come and live with me. So I'm not going to change my standard for you living with me. You'll be there and I'll be praying. But there is not a single motive in my heart to make you know that I want to show you that I pray. No, you were already praying when I came. I was already praying when you came. So when you come, I'll still continue praying. Yeah. From my university days, I used to pray long in my colleague's room, my room, where my other colleague is there. Yeah. So it's not like I'm now coming to show you that I'm very spiritual. No. So there is no trying to impress. You're not trying to impress anyone. So when you find yourself trying to impress, there could be some prevailing signs of pride. When you know that things are not okay, but you are still forcing to pull off or live in a certain way, then there's trouble. And many of the times you only leave people, you know, diminished and feeling inadequate. But not knowing that you yourself, there is also struggles you are going through. Now, when I say there's a way you can live a positive lifestyle that, you know, encourages other people, but it should be devoid of any motive to be impressive. When there's an embarrassing moment in your life, how do you take it? How do you take it? An embarrassing moment of your life, how do you take it? Do you just say, oh, you know, I know I can handle it. I can do it. I've been doing this. I live an impressive life already. There is nothing to be worried about. Or you are genuine about it. Just live it and live it according to your means. Some people are having a headache because their friend has gone to buy something that they don't have. Their friend has gone to buy something that they don't have. And they must fight to get that same thing. And normally when they are even getting it, they try to get something better so that they can outbeat that friend. So that what that friend has is a cake. Yeah, you have it, me too, I have it, and I even have a better one. Many times, iPhone 14, 15, 16, 19. You know that you can't get this thing. But you will do anything to get it. Do you know very well you can't get this thing? So you catch them. You know, living a life that invoke anything that comes, they want to get it. But it's going to go old. And they're going to regret buying it again. Because even what it takes to maintain whatever they bought, they don't have. So there are many things that they should be doing with the money they use to go and buy a phone, an expensive laptop, or something. I'm not saying those things are wrong. But when you do them, when you cannot live within them, you can't get them, then there is a very serious problem. Because you want to look like a big boy. So keep, don't try to impress anyone. Live within your means. If there's something that you like that at the moment you can't get, sit yourself down and talk to yourself. Tell yourself, myself, not now. Is that not how people make financial decisions and then they go broke? They go take their whole money, go and buy a bus, go take their whole money, go and buy a car, go take their whole money, go and buy this. Meanwhile, if you had saved a little up over that money, you could have acquired the land and you could have started building. You could have bought a land and you could have started building. And when you start building, you don't want to wait till the house is 100% complete. You just build, you just start building. Work on one room, one bathroom, one, that's all. You just move in. Only wise men act and think like this. Yeah. Only wise men act and think like this. If you're not wise, you can't act and think like that. This thing my father taught me. So only wise men act and think like this. Rather than buy an expensive car, they bought a land, they started building. Building actually shows a certain kind of a wisdom. Because a fool cannot build. A fool can't build. Yeah. A fool cannot build. It's only a man of understanding that builds. So when you see somebody who has a building and when you see someone who has a car, it's a vast difference. You have to look at the person that has a building again. Yeah, you have to look at the person that has a building again. Because to build, it means that there is a certain kind of a wisdom at work. And that's why I'm sharing this wisdom with you. So that when you have money, you are not interested in just buying some phone, 10,000 CDs. I was somewhere, and the lady told me she was going to buy a certain phone. I asked how much. She said it was close to 8,003. I started calculating 8,003. Two subwoofers, it can buy two. That time we had not bought our subs. The bass, the big bass subs that the speakers stand on. I said, two subwoofers. He can buy two subwoofers. And I looked at him and I said, wow, someone will just buy it. It's not bringing in money. It's not producing any input. It's not returning anything. It's just there. And on top of it, Kwashi boys can beat you and collect it when you are late at home. So you buy it and you have to make sure that you are home by 8:30. If not, if you are not home by 8:30, 9:45, the Kwashi boys are smiling. They are waiting for you. They are saying that, yeah, today this girl will show this girl. So you see that when they are outside, the moment it's 8:30, they say, Charlie, I need to get home. It's not that they need to get home. They need to get home because they can't bear that thought of having a phone with them. So you see that, you know, in pursuit of many things, you miss out on what the actual thing is. When you have money, your uncle gives you money, whatever, 1,000 Ghana, 100,000 Ghana, 50,000, 200,000. Don't just be thinking about phone, laptop, changing this. Okay. You are not. It shows a certain lack of wisdom. You quickly say, "How can I get a land? Buy? How can I build?" You start building. You are not too young to build, so you don't try to impress. You don't try to impress. Live an impressive lifestyle. Don't try. Don't be on the quest to look it when you actually cannot look it. There are many things that don't make meaning to me. So there's no way I can try to impress. Even if you bought me an iPhone 22, it doesn't make meaning to me. In fact, sometimes I feel like those phones are even very heavy. Yeah, I feel like those phones are pretty heavy. I was using an iPhone when it was released a couple of years back. And then the thing fell down. And then I said, no, this thing is not wise. It's not wise. It's not wise. To live within your means is the sign of humility. You see, people who actually have money, you don't even know they have money. That's the thing. People who truly have money. So you live within your means. Don't just get money and spend on something because you want to look impressive. Must you change your wardrobe every 6 months? Must you? Some of you have things flooding out of your wardrobe, pouring out of your wardrobe on the floor. Your things are even too many. You are still buying. And the things, it's not like you wear them. You don't even wear them. Try to impress. Don't try to look spiritual when you are actually not. You know very well that. When you are full of humility, God can help you. When you are full of pride, you will always find your money always going. Your money not making any sense to you. Your money always misused because you're full of pride. So pride tries to impress. The ladies, don't be interested in your man impressing you. Don't be moved by him. Be impressed. That's how you follow married men. Nobody here in Jesus' name. That's how people follow married men. Because see them driving in the Benz and they say, wow, can you hop into my car? And they say, where are you going? He said, I'm going towards where you are going. You are going towards where we are going. Just because you saw a Benz. Just because you saw a Benz. Don't be under any pressure. When somebody buys you a gift, And you know very well that this person, I don't have anything to do with this person. You want to clarify why the person had you such an expensive gift. And then you also make them know that, oh, please, so there's nothing we have in common. Rather than they buy, you collect, you're quiet, you're watching, pretending. Because you want to live an impressive life. Somebody who has come to give you an impressive life, you collect it. They send you gifts, expensive gifts, you collect, you are quiet. Then later on, they're asking you for certain commitments, and you say, I didn't know this was all about. Why didn't you communicate early on that the gifts and the things that they sent you, you were not interested, but you collected all of the things, and you received all of those expensive gifts, and now you come and stand there and say, I'm not interested in what they are saying and what they are doing. You are interested because you showed your interest by receiving gifts as kings and queens. When you go to a king's palace and you give the king gifts and the king receives the gift, it means that I'm happy you are here. That's what it means. A king that is at loggerheads with you does not receive your gifts. He doesn't take it. He says, send it back to wherever it came from. So you are going to live a life that does not try to impress anyone. If you can afford it, that's fine. If you can't afford it, no. Don't live that life. It pushes a lot of strain, stress, and it's energy zapping. It's like you are running against somebody who is running effortlessly, but you are running against them. We are still talking about the prevailing signs of pride. Live within your means. Are you listening? The world is in a rat race. Don't follow them. How you know they're in a rat race is that you see that anything they buy, in 1 year, 8 months, 8 months, 1 year, 2 years, the thing becomes old. And you're wondering, like, are you not? It's not this thing that just came out and looks obsolete. And the thing is old, eh? You are chasing after the book. If you chase after it, you don't get it. That's why I keep telling, you know, us as a ministry, let's not chase the votes. By God's grace, we have, you know, whatever instruments that we have. But that was not the reason why we bought. We didn't struggle to buy them. And I bought what was within the ministry's means to acquire at the time. All of those equipments and all those things, they'll be old in the next 5 to 7 years. When you see them, you will not even think they are necessary. They'll be working all right, but it's not that. Other new versions would have come. So the believer does not need to be chasing new trends and new inventions and new. So actually, new Apple Watch, you go to buy. New AirPods, you go to buy. The next 6, 8, 1 year, 2 years, 1 year, 2 years, Christ, they're releasing another one. The one you have bought, you have to put it down. You're going to buy another one. So you're not, it's like you're not smart. Live within your means. Buy whatever it is you should buy. And keep whatever it is that you should keep as long as you can keep it. As long as you can keep it. The wives, don't pressure your husbands to do certain things that you know very well that the finances, but you are still forcing, you're still saying that he must do this. He must do this. In the evening, you talk about it. In the morning, you talk about it. In the afternoon, you talk about it. What should he do? Don't put anybody under undue pressure. Live within your means. take your children to schools within your means. Don't go and take them to Cambridge, you know very well your salary cannot afford that. And every time, term or whatever, you're squeezing your face like somebody is worrying you. Why don't you take them to a school that you can afford, a good school that you can afford, and pray that God will grant them wisdom and understanding. Lay hands on them and say, you'll be fine, go to school. Rather, go and put them in a school where you're struggling to pay. Struggling to pay. Say, if he doesn't have his own house, you're not wise when you talk like that. If he doesn't have his own house, you can't, okay. I've told you, the guys, don't let anybody pressure you. Wherever you are at is wherever you are at. You are working very hard. You're working around the clock. You're working to make things fine. But where you are at, you are not becoming anything for anybody. You're working hard. You're saving. You're working hard. You're giving towards the ministry. You're working hard. You're thinking about occupying a property. You're working hard. You're thinking about putting certain things in place. It's not like you are just there and you are just walking around and because she likes a car, then you go and take your whole 4 years, 4.5 years saving, then you go and buy a car, then you drive it to her house. Hey, so if you drive it to your house, where are you going to sleep? Your weddings, don't spend luxuriously on those things. Listen to me, you thank me many years up ahead of you if you listen to the counsels I give you. Don't outrageously blow out a wedding. You go to take loan, you go to take whatever. You go and borrow. Pick from here. At the end of the wedding, people are calling you. Your cameraman is calling you. Videographer is calling you. The woman's wedding gown, you paid half. Paid half. Just because you were trying to be impressive. If you have the money, who stops you? And very soon, by God's grace, I'm going to be present at simple, good, wonderful weddings. Yeah, simple, good, wonderful weddings. Nobody is breaking the bank. Nobody is whatever. Simple. You finish, you go and have a honeymoon somewhere. Somewhere in Ibri. And as God blesses you, you can fly out to Massachusetts and Santorigo and all of those places. But now you know that Onupa. At now you see that videographer alone is taking 8,000, 10,000, camera plus videography 15,000. Only that one, no. So you don't know. Chairs alone is 4,000. Canopies another 3,000. Venue 12,000. Hey, how old are you? You are not even 30 yet. Wedding gown, 8,000. The man's suit, 1,600. Bob said 2,005. Because you want to look elegant. Your shoe alone is like 850. So before you realize, you are crossing 150,000 Ghana cedis on wedding. Even 150,000 Ghana cedis, I mean. But say, let's make it simple. Say, no, let's blow. Let's buy all the types of drinks, all the types of cake. The cake alone again is close to 9,600. You have gone to borrow 20,000, another 20,000. But you forget that the real living is after the marriage. As for everybody, they will come and eat their food and go. They will just come and eat their food and go. And drink their business and go. Belch on you. Just belch on you and go. Then after all, that's when you see that I've done something wise, or Charlie, I've not acted wisely. So live within your means. Are you listening? Live within your means. Save the money. Your children could benefit from it. Your husband could benefit from it. Your wife could benefit from it. Live within your means. Don't try to impress anybody. Then you go and borrow somebody's Corolla wine, or Range something. Then the driver is driving, then he carelessly just smashes a bit. The person is like, oh, Charlie, you're my brother, but this thing is expensive. You need to pay. Another 4,000 is gone. So at the end of the day, you end up putting yourself in a very awkward position. Now, the caution is, if you have the means, you can go ahead. If you know that you can really, really afford. Even with that one, I tell that even if you can really afford, there is always reason to use money for something more important. I'm telling you, when you understand what I'm teaching you, you're going to have the best homes. Because there is no pressure in the home. You can sit down and take thoughts. You can sit down and take thoughts as to what you're going to do. You can plan effectively. Spread out your plans. And you do well. You do very well. So that there's nobody having any kind of loan to pay. I pray that you will not live to impress anybody, whether society, whether some friend, whether some family, whether some whatever. You will not live to impress anybody. You're just going to do what you can do genuinely. And the ladies, you must be wise. Before I leave you, you must say, oh, please, let's cut down on this. Let's do it like this. We could have a more simpler alternative. Let's do it like so. We can put this here. We can do this. Well, I know you have the money, but let's be a bit discreet about it. When you do that, you're going to be fruitful. Because rather than throw your seeds in unproductive places, you can keep your seeds for productive places. Don't give to impress. Just give genuinely. There are certain times God might, impress on you to go an extra mile. God, all of those things, but you just need to make sure that you are doing what is right. You're doing what is right. And God is going to help you. God is going to help you. God is going to grant you the wisdom that He's granted me. This thing I'm telling you is something that I have lived. You can ask my father. He will tell you. My father told me in person. He says that I am that child that he never struggled to take care of me. Yeah. From my youthful days, I know how to bear with things and flow with things. And then now he was telling me about my sister, and said, hey. And I laughed. Every time they are asking for things. Pascal wasn't like that. I knew how to keep myself. Whatever he gave me, I kept it well. Whatever he gave me, I put it to effective use. So my father really, really likes me. Because I can bear with things. I can bear with things. The Lord is helping you not to try to impress anyone in Jesus' name. Don't try to impress anyone. You have a business, continue. Don't feel shy to be a seller. Hey, I one time gleaned on wisdom. A motor rider took me from one place to the other. And I asked him how much he was going to take from me. He said 30 cedis or so. So I just said, 30 cedis. He said, then we started talking. And he said, oh. So I don't know what happened. He just opened up to me. And he says that if he picks 10 people a day and he gets 30 cedis, so he's picking 10 people a day and he makes 30 cedis, that's 300 cedis. So every day he's making 300 cedis. Now, in 1 month of 30 cedis times 10, which is 300 times 30, do you know how much he's making? He's making 9,000 cedis 1 month. Not anything close to a salary worker. So those people that you think they don't have money, those people you see, they have money. Don't pity them. They are the ones actually making the money. But they just get up and they have one dirty shirt. You wake up, the salary they pay you, you have to still go and buy an office dress. A by day mason or something doesn't take 25 cedis. Less than, let me see, 25 times 3, 75 times 10, 750 times 30, 28. Yeah. Many by day makers don't take less than 150 cedis. So times 30. If he's going to work like that every day, 30, that's 4,500. So let nobody deceive you that that small business you are doing is not important. Because they are trying to impress. They don't want to have anything to do with anything selling or buying. Put them aside. Sell your thing. Get your money. Sell your thing, get your money. Don't live to impress anybody or don't live to whatever. So he told me that. He was laughing. He was like, government for doing some music. Let's go, boss. And he removed bundles of money in his pocket and he showed me that. Wait, he was a stammerer. Wait, some man catch us some music. And it's true, Uncle Uni. If he's making 9,000 cedis every month, how much would it take to buy fuel? How much will fuel cost? And you know something? They have one shirt, two trousers, or three shirts, two trousers, one shoe. No pressure. That's why many industrious people have houses that they have built in other places, especially when the person is wise, because they have money. The government work out where heal like they are going to whatever, but they don't have anything. Even the VAT deductions alone can give you headache. VAT deduction, when you take your salary slip at the end of the month, the VAT deduction alone, it paints your head. I'm not saying that government workers are not. That's not what I'm saying. Please, I beg you. But what I'm hoping you are getting the discord I'm trying to put in what I'm complaining. I mean, what I'm explaining. Joe Boy wears suits to work every day. Transportation, bare 800 cedis. At the end of the month, ask Joe Boy how much he saves. Ask Joe Boy how much he eats from. See that there's nothing left. Joe Boy is left there. So don't live an impressive life. Are you listening? Whatever it is that you have to do, put it, start doing it. What I'm teaching is helping someone, or I'm just wasting your time about living an impressive life. Don't have an impressive life you want to live. Don't look like you have money. Actually have money.
Yes. Don't look like you have money. Actually have the money.
That when you tell someone the money you have, the person will not believe it. Actually have the money. Actually have it. Actually have the money. Don't look like you have it, but you don't really actually have it. Actually have the money. Actually have the money. Don't live an impressive life. Actually have the money. So I want to encourage everybody who is with me. Live like that. There's certain times, it just occurs to me that you have eaten meat for too long. And I go off meat. It means that any food I buy, I don't buy meat. You can call me a poor man, it doesn't, I don't care. I don't buy meat. It's true. There's times I just go off. Anything that is draining, I just go off it. I go off it. Sometimes it might also come to me like, okay, you've not eaten meat in a while. Eat it for a while. But somebody, if there's no meat on my food, you know, your money is finished. Your money is finished. Or what I'm saying is not true. Your money is finished, but you want to still buy. See, all those things, you eat them, you'll be tired. Even those things, many of the times, they're not even healthy enough. Many times, they're not healthy. I'm telling you, anybody could live 1,000 times of meat in. Yeah, at a certain stage, meat is not important. You're just eating it, just gets in there. It's not like you don't have money. You have the money. Oh, you have the money. I could buy any shoe I want, in any number. I could buy anything I want. But I will not. I will not. I'll just not. I'm just trying to be very discreet and, you know, wise in a certain way. So you can buy, but make sure that it doesn't become something that you're obsessed with. You're living now in an obsession of things. From today, God is helping you to not try to impress anyone. Not try to impress, but rather you will live an impressive life. It's like when you live an impressive life, you're not trying to impress. You're living the life actually within your means that is very impressive. God is going to help you to live like this and to be like this. God is going to help you. Now, am I saying don't buy anything expensive? Nope. Again, the caution is make sure it's within your means. Many times I actually read that if there was anything that you would want to buy, if you could buy it at 3 times over, listen to the analogy. If you could buy it at 3 times over and not be financially constrained, it means you can actually afford that thing. So that iPhone 14, you need to be able to buy it 3 times. Like when you buy one, the next second you buy one, the next second you buy one, and not be financially constrained, it means that thing you can afford it. So you can buy it 3 times over. If you can buy it 3 times over, then it means that you can't afford it. The thing becomes something that you buy because of a certain convenience that you need. We went to ask for some cameras. I mean, a camera, and they were telling us 15,000, 16,000, 12,000, 17,000. And I was like, okay, that's really expensive. And so I had to sit down and do a calculation.
How often are we going to be using a camera? I realized, okay, what's this? How often are we going to have videographies, photographies happening? Okay, what's this? I'm telling you, things are really expensive. Eh? How often are we going to be having money that comes as a result of our purchasing cameras? I said, okay, there was none. And I was like, no, we might not need that now. Yeah, we might not need that now. And that's how I script it off. Somewhere even as high as 22,000, 25,000 more. But you see a fellow minister like myself go and carry money and go and buy that thing. And you see that they struggle all over. You don't live like that. You don't live like that. I've never lived my life like that. I'm critical. I think about it. Must we have it? Should we get it? I did a calculation with Ivan and I realized that for every program, we're going to buy so and so number of instruments and we're going to pay for it. And many times we might not even be paying less than 2,000 for a very standard program and not less than 1,000 students for normal meetings like what we had at camp. And I realized that, okay, no. This one, if you buy the instruments, it will help. You were all here. The instruments were close to 20,000. We had to gather money to go and pick it because it was necessary. And then we went to buy it. And thanks to those who gave also, they made it very easy. Now when we're having a program, no matter how big the program is, we can power the program with our equipment. We have the staffs, we have the microphones, we have the keyboards, we have the bass. We're here to get it, but we have the bass combos, the other combos, everything. Yeah. So this one, we don't need to send another 3,000, 2,000 for a program again. And then if we're having three programs, that's already 9,000, close to 8,000. So you see how I think. I said, no, we need, if it's just 20,000, we are going to spend three programs, we're going to spend 9,000, 8,000. So it means that we can just close our eyes and get it. It means it becomes important that we get it. Listen, much of what God is going to do to you in making you fruitful, why am I spending time to tell you this? It's because there's a prudence of your life you must have financially. Are you listening? Yes, there's a frugality also you must have. Frugality means you know how to count your pennies. You know how to use your pennies very well. Yeah, you know how to use your pennies. Don't just, you know how to keep little and save little, 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 little. We didn't start saving today. We started saving close to 3 years ago as a ministry. You can ask. Yeah. Yeah. And I kept on telling the people, encouraging the people, give. Because I know a point in time is going to come. We're going to have to buy land. We're going to have to start building. Yeah, I probably might be young to think, I don't think I'm young to have a church building. And we are not young to have a church building as Christ family. And to have a venue where things are moving. And we are not young. We're not young to have structures and buildings we are raising. That's why I always encourage us. See, every penny you give, any money that you give, they are not misused in any way. You can ask Martina. Sometimes I place an embargo on how much leaves the ministry. Yeah, because I told someone, I said, people suffer to give the monies. So we can't misuse the monies. Yeah. They're giving towards the building. They're giving towards the things we have to do. They're giving towards the services we want to provide. So we can't misuse the monies. It's not like the money are just there and people are just catching it. They're just giving. And they're just committed to giving. No. And it doesn't come to me. So if you think your giving comes to me, it doesn't come to me. If I'm me myself, I give. So we're going to be frugal. I'm teaching you this. Why am I teaching you this on the ministry? So you will know that every single thing that you give and every single thing that you do, there is frugality attached to it. And also, you attach that frugality to your life. You attach that wisdom to your life. You attach that wisdom to your life. You attach that wisdom to your life. Come and see how we're bargaining for the things when we went to buy them. Say this, I'll say no, please, can we give you this? Say no, this one has no gas. Say, please, can we do? Say no, okay, we'll add 200. Is it okay? Say, oh, you know, now these are things that, yeah, we have to be so that we can keep money. You don't just give out money like that. You don't throw out. When you're like that, you're not going to be very good financially fruitful. Just throw out money. You just go and stand somewhere. You are throwing. 10 cities, 20 cities, 30 cities, 50 cities. Dance. Charlie, the girl did dance. Make her throw out some money. Hey, Charlie. It's just that this person is not. It's not something wrong with your mind. God is helping you to be wise and to be frugal. And that is how you will be fruitful. Yes, you'll be bearing more fruits. You'll be bearing more fruits, plenty fruits. So if you are not giving, please, you need to start giving. And don't just give once and you fold your hands up giving. No, it has to be consistent. I always say here that I teach you something, and I said, any money that you get, apportion some to the Lord and to the ministry. Anything. Yeah. To be a constant giver. And God is pleased with such acts. We're going to be fruitful. Every time, fruitfulness. Every time, fruitfulness. And walk in that mind. And listen. So we are saying that we're directly linking, you know, pride to unfruitfulness. And then I'm showing you also how that some characteristics of pride will stop us becoming fruitful. That's why I'm saying don't live to impress anyone. Amen. You're blessed. Very blessed. Blessed in all your endeavors. Blessed in all that you lay your hands on. Because you will be frugal. You know how to count your pence. Know how to save, how to keep money for a long time. Yeah. God is granting you a certain kind of a prudence towards everything that He gives to you. Many of us don't know that we are stewards of everything that God has given to us. If He gave you money, you are steward of it. It's not yours. He gave it to you. He gave it to you so that you could do what He wants you to do with it. And if you had life, He gave it to you. You are still. It's not your life. He gave it to you so you can do what He gave you that life for. And God is going to grant you the wisdom to be able to do what He wants you to do. Oh, I'm seeing that in the next couple of months into years, my God, people are going to do so well. Going to be buoyant. It's like God's going to be raising some very fruitful people. Yeah, very fruitful. In fact, it's going to be one of the blessings of God on this ministry. Yeah, it's like when you come inside, it's like God chooses to smile upon you in a certain way. How many of you have realized that since you came into Christ's family? There is a certain kind of a grace on your life. There's a certain kind of a favor on your life. How many of you have realized? Yeah. It's like a grace. Yeah. It's true. It's not like I'm saying it to entice you. It's true. It's one of the blessedness of this ministry. One of the blessings is that anybody that comes in here, it's like everything about you, God smiles on it. And someone is saying, yes, please, Pastor, very, very true. It's very true. It's like God causes, God just smiles on you. Oh, imagine if He keeps smiling on you for the next 5 years. Yeah. God, he just smiles on you. Yeah. It's like his peace smiles on you. His favor smiles on you. His glory smiles on you. You suddenly know what to do. Yeah. It's God. And the funny thing is that we are busy serving the Lord. That's the funny thing. It's not like we are busy. Anybody, my finances, right now, catch fire, right now. Anybody, we don't even take time. I don't have a problem with people who take time to. Well, we don't do that. We are just serving the Lord, happy, and everything is working. What a blessing. Father, thank you for this blessing. Thank you for this blessing. Thank you, Lord. Everything is working and everything is responding. And thank you, Lord, for patience and endurance. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that everybody is fruitful, very fruitful, in fact, exceedingly fruitful. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we're not trying to impress. We're not trying to impress anyone. We're only living an impressive life that is godly, and that's full of wisdom. We thank you for your graciousness. Jesus' mighty name. Amen.